I've been reading through Luke again, and I came across a story. I spoke about this probably some years ago, and it just reminded me a lot. I just thought it might be encouraging just to bring this passage again and dig it a little bit more, and just to encourage you, encourage us all in this time. And this is in Luke 7, if you've got a Bible, tablet, phone, somebody else's t-shirt or whatever, depends what we've got on it. And Luke 7, and it's the situation where Jesus walks into a town and meets a dead guy and raises him up. So this is a raising. And so starting at verse 11, it says, "Now it happened the day after, when he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the city gates, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd was from the city was with her." So you've got two crowds converging upon a spot in this city, probably at the gate. You've got one crowd coming in and one crowd going out. You've got the Leeds fans, as it were, in their white tops, because that's holy, all marching in towards the city. And you've got the Man U fans with the little devils coming back out. And so you've got these two crowds just about to converge near the city gates. And then he says this is probably one of the most important verses in this part. He says, "And then the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and says to her, 'Do not weep.'" Everything that you read throughout the Bible, especially concerning Jesus' life, people often say that things happen because of this and because of that. Every time you see somebody getting healed, getting delivered, there's often the word compassion around there somewhere. And often because Jesus is the one having compassion upon these people. And he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the coffin, and those who were carrying it stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. It was all right, just day after Halloween, isn't it? And he presented him back to his mother. Then fear came upon all those when they glorified God, too true, saying, "A great prophet has arisen amongst us, and God has visited his people." And a report about him went throughout all Judea and the surrounding region. Now, we don't know who this woman was. It mentions a woman. It doesn't even give a man's name or boy's name. We're not quite sure. It says a man. Some say it was a teenager. We're not quite sure. But it is interesting. And I don't even know if this guy was part of the church later on or this woman. But this is one of those events that happened in her life that would have completely changed her life. Now, we don't know if she were a believer, non-believer. We don't know if she were a good Jew or a not-so-good Jew. We're not quite even sure anything about her, except for she was in the city and she was a widow, so her husband had died previously. She's only got one son, and he's now died. And it says this, that she was coming out with a great crowd. This wasn't social distancing, funerals in a lockdown. This were a big crowd. When he talks about crowds, we do understand it's probably more than 10 people. I mean, we don't know about this guy. He may have been. I've been to some funerals where there's been literally me and a few other people. And you just wonder, did this person not have an effect on anybody? I mean, I've been to other funerals where it was standing room only. People looking through from the overflow rooms. And you understand the why that this person has such an impact on other people's lives. But this woman's coming out, Jesus is heading in, and you've got two crowds of people. You've got one crowd that's going into the town, and they're praising God, they're celebrating. Now, the story before this is about the centurion who says, "My servant's sick," and Jesus does a great miracle. There'd have been a lot of whispering, a lot of stories going around about Jesus by now, and this crowd was celebrating, his disciples were there, and it says, and a large crowd. So Jesus with a large crowd. And I'm not saying they're all chanting Jesus, Jesus, maybe wanting just to be fed, you know, because that happened as well. And they're celebrating, they're walking with life itself, the life giver. and they're walking in a hopeful manner. Maybe this is the Messiah. Maybe this is a deliverance for Israel. We don't quite know what was going on. All we know is that Jesus was going into his town, and he meets a crowd coming out. And this crowd is completely different. Not only are they probably Man U fans because of the devil, but they're leaving this town mourning and grieving. They're walking dead, virtually. They're going to the cemetery. And they're almost hopeless. To her, it's almost like her life had just given in. Everything had gone from her. She didn't know how she was going to cope anymore. She didn't know what circumstances were going to arise. She may have been sold. She may have had to rely on a brother or somebody else. But that's not indicated. All we know is that she may have been a person that had prayed. She may have gone before God. Why is this going on? She may have prayed when the boy was ill and cried out to God, but nothing had happened. To her, she may have felt that God had left her. God had abandoned her. And she felt all alone. Yet there was a crowd around her. But knowing the situation, she may have just felt so alone. See, it's easy to be in a crowd and still be alone. I mean, there's two sorts of people in there. There's people that can be in a crowd and they are so lost inside that they're on their own. Or you can go to a wedding and the newlyweds are dancing and there's a crowd around them, but they're oblivious to everybody else. This woman probably didn't want to be there, didn't want to go there. And yet as she left the city, she bumped into another crowd. There's nothing worse really, is there? When you're having a bad time, a bad day, bad situations, to meet somebody who's chirpy. How you doing? Now, what's going on? God's just done this to me. I remember hearing stories, especially from other churches of ladies when there's been several ladies who've not been able to have children and they've been praying for one another and one's got pregnant, but one hadn't. And there's joy, but there's sadness. Almost a clash. Those people that, you know, believe in God for something and yet the bottom still dropped out. These two crowds were more than just two crowds. These were two kingdoms that were meeting. Two groups of people with different thinking. But they were going to have the one big change in their life. This woman was carrying her son out of the town to be buried, to bury him, to say goodbye. They didn't hang around in those days. They had to get rid of the bodies pretty well straight away because, you know, they started to decay. She was carrying him somewhere she didn't want to carry him, going in a direction she didn't want to go. And a question to ask ourselves, are you carrying stuff, things that you don't want to really carry? And are you carrying them in a direction you don't really want to go? It's interesting that the devil will always promise us great blessings and great rewards just for a little bit of sin, but it often costs more than you're willing to pay and take you further than you're willing to go when you give in to that sort of thing. You know, tonight you may have been singing those songs and just worshipping God, praying, looking like you've got it all together, but are you carrying something on the inside that you may not want to be carrying? You see, people everywhere. It's interesting, Joe had a phone call this morning from somebody whose dad's passed away. And we can soon forget in everything that's going on around the world that life and death still carries on, that things still happen. This isn't a COVID-related issue. It's just an age issue, that things happen. People are losing jobs, yet people are getting new jobs and good opportunities. You know, there are people dying and people have been born and kids have been born as well. And life seems to carry on, but sometimes we can carry on, but inside we're carrying pain. Sometimes we're carrying sickness in our bodies. Sometimes we've got worry. Sometimes it's addictions and that's all sorts of things in that. But some people that carry depression around and yet you'd never know. They just smile away through things. There's people that carry shame and guilt. And some people carry more than one of those. You know, we were never designed to carry things like that. We were never designed as human beings to carry weight that we cannot carry. You know, is there people here? You just need something to happen in your life that can break those things. This woman's encounter happened when she met Jesus. And that's the easy answer to it all. Yeah, meet Jesus. But it's not always so black and white. Jesus is not the one with the problem. He's the one always trying to help. Sometimes it's us that we carried things for so long that we don't, it's not that we don't want to give them up. It's just that it's become who we are. It's become part of us. She was carrying something she didn't want to carry, going in a direction she didn't want to go, but her life was going to change when she met Jesus. You see, to her, this coughing spoke of many things. It may have spoke of a long-term sickness. It may have been just an accident. We're not quite sure that caused this boy to die. But one thing the coughing did speak about is sickness, sorrow. She was obviously mourning and weeping for her son. It talked of death. We don't know how many days she'd been in waiting for it to happen, maybe. Tears flowing, heartache, crying out to God, asking the question, where is God? That's a question that many people ask, where is God in this? People are asking recently, where's God? Churches are shutting, why? Where is God in this? God is still on the throne. He's still in control. It hasn't taken him by surprise. She may have been going through one of the darkest times in the world. I'm not diminishing the fact about her husband dying, but at least she still had a son. But for a son to go as well. I mean, you always expect, I mean, without being too callous, it seems, you always expect to bury the generation above you, don't you? And then you get to a certain point where, even in my life, we're starting to bury my generation. But nobody likes burying the lower generation. It's almost wrong, especially if it's not a time of war. But for her, she was burying her son. You know, she was going through a dark place. But the Bible says this in James 4:8. It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It's interesting that the onus is on you first drawing near to God. But in reality, God is already there waiting for you to draw to him. He's not holding back, he's waiting. It, you know, it doesn't matter how dark things look and how dark things seem to be getting. The Bible teaches that God can change anything around for our good and for his glory. But Jesus looked at them and he said to them, with men, you know, this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. In every situation, it's always possible with God. The only thing is that we've often relied heavily on the instant or God's not doing things. And sometimes God does things instantly, but he also takes you through a journey. Our Tim often says that when he got delivered from his drugs, it were amazing, great testimony. But he couldn't look people in the eye who had to go through the detox. Because he had his miracle. But he says, but they had the real big struggle. So this woman was going somewhere she didn't want to go, but she met up with God that day. You see, many people are carrying things, but Jesus says, this is in Matthew 11. He says, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. It's interesting that he doesn't talk absolutely in the sense of taking everything away from us, but what he does say is, I'll give you rest, a peace. You know, it doesn't matter how bad things get, if you've got peace on the inside, you're going to walk through it. When you're strong and rested on the inside, you'll carry on through these things. But if you're empty on the inside, you can't carry on. Don't matter how strong you've been in the past, if you're empty on the inside, it'll be really hard to carry on. When these two crowds met, it wasn't just people meeting. It wasn't just one crowd, another crowd. You've got two kingdoms meeting, the kingdom of God versus the enemy's kingdom, coming death and life there. You've got light entering to a dark place and darkness trying to bring it onto the city. You've got life being brought in, yet you've got death coming out. We had one crowd that had hope and one crowd that was hopeless. And yet these two crowds clashed and a miracle happened. When Jesus encounters anything, he's always the one that comes out on top. He always does. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what the problem is. You know, the enemy will always say that you're an individual and you're the only person that's ever gone through this situation. It's a lie. In fact, James talks about that nothing has seized a man other than what's already tempting a man. And the fact is, there's always somebody that's gone through probably worse than anybody else. I'd like to know who that person is. You know what I mean? And I've ever wondered, nobody understands. But in reality, We've all been through stuff, and in reality, they're all different, and yet they're all very similar. And the answer is always Jesus. When this woman encountered Jesus, there was only going to be ever one winner. I mean, she wasn't looking for him, but Jesus was looking for her. He had compassion on her and dealt with her. When death encountered Jesus, there was only ever going to be one winner, and that was Jesus, because he's a life bringer. And he proved that by being nailed onto a cross and then buried himself. And 3 days later, up from the grave, he rose. And off he went. You know, tonight we're all may be carrying things and we need to have an encounter with the King of Kings. But it's only going to be one winner with anything when it encounters Jesus. Whatever name you can give something, whatever situation or problem, there's one name that's above all names, that's Jesus. There's always one that's on the throne, that's Jesus. And he can break every chain, break every addiction, bring everything into the light and sort everything out when we just trust in him. There's only going to be one winner, and that's Jesus. You see, his love is greater than any of our fears. And he says this in the Bible, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. His provision is greater than any of our lacks. And if you're lacking on anything, his provision can. It's interesting that I've been listening to several people recently, and they've been talking about that people need to put their trust in God and for God to provide. Now, that doesn't mean being stupid, but by trusting in God. And he went through this whole thing of what they're doing. This is in the US. There's one businessman who's giving more business away, giving more products away, giving more stuff away than really he should. And yet he said, I'm being blessed so much. He said his company is actually on the up, and all he's doing is giving away. Well, other companies are trying to grab and trying to hold on to. He's still employing people, even though he shouldn't, and he's still keeping all the things, but he's giving away so much, and yet God is blessing him so much, because he says God's provision is greater than anything that we could lack. My God shall supply all needs, according to Philippians 4, verse 19. His presence is greater than anything that's bounding us up. Any bondage, God can actually break that. For the Lord is a spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's what 2 Corinthians says. His word is greater than any of our problems. I don't love having a problem, but I do love when I have got a problem, discovering something in the Bible that's the answer to the problem. And it's like, it's okay somebody else giving you a Bible verse in both times, but when you find it yourself, it makes a difference. And there'll be times and there'll be situations where you've been through where you've got a Bible verse that maybe somebody may have given you it, or maybe you may have found it, but when the revelation sunk in, you'll know that verse off by heart. You won't have a promise of, do you have a favourite Bible? Oh, yes, I have. I mean, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It changes lives. His sacrifice on the cross is greater than any of our sicknesses. But he was wounded for our transgressions, the Bible said. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And then in Peter, he echoes this and he says, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we may die to sin and that we may live to righteousness, by whose stripes we were, past tense, healed. His strength is stronger than any of our weaknesses. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. These are good stuff. That's 2 Corinthians 12:10. And his love is greater than any of our guilt. One of the problems that most people have is that they feel guilty over something, so they don't bring it to God. They're carrying something that they were never designed to carry. And yet the Bible says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When I was at school, it was fairly interesting that as much as I were a troubled child, we'll put it that way, the teachers that I knew the best, if they asked me if I'd done it, if I had, they used to go, yeah. Even though I could get the cane for it, they knew if they asked me, I'd admit to it. Because I couldn't be bothered with all the lime from my teeth, and because eventually they were going to find out. But if I hadn't done it, I'd say no. So as much as I was that child that was often in trouble, if I said I hadn't done it, they knew that I hadn't done it. You see, they weren't bringing condemnation onto me, but they were just human beings sorting out problems. God is more interested in us than often we are interested in ourselves. I heard somebody speaking today, and they said, we don't appreciate how much God loves us. And we all go, yeah, we know God loves us so much and all that. But he flicked it round. He says, we don't know how much pain we put on God because he loves us so much. And most of that pain from his own children is because they won't give up what they're carrying that's causing them pain, which in turn causes the father pain because he knows he could just take it away should they want to give it up. There's only ever going to be one winner when anything encounters Jesus, and that's Jesus. But often there's more. I always like mores. I love mores. You know, when you get a bit extra, it's always more. Bring on the more. Jesus died on a cross. When his blood was shed, his blood brought us forgiveness. It brought us freedom. It brought us healing. It brought us hope. And he took away our sin, our guilt and shame. And we're always celebrating for those sorts of things. That's the communion. But his blood also has power to break addiction. It breaks a curse. It breaks all fears. But there's even more than that. Because often people stop at the cross of salvation, say, it forgives our sins, but it brought us so much more. There's so much in the atonement. But I used to have some old books years ago, and they're probably still in the loft. And I had a book on systematic theology, which were about 2 inches thick, or 50 millimeters, if you're into that sort of thing. But then I had a book on the atonement, which were even bigger, which happened to be only one section in the systematic theology. And atonement means a sacrifice, was a huge book. And it was talking about everything that God did, that Jesus did on the cross for us. A huge book. And I'm thinking, this is going to take me forever to get through. And I decided, read the Bible, because it tells you all in there anyway. But there's more from God. Jesus did more than just die to take away our sins. He died so we could have an encounter with God. So whatever we're carrying, we can bring to him. You see, if Jesus says, you know, come to me, everybody who's ever burdened and, you know, you need rest, come to me. That was great back then, but we're here. But Jesus died on the cross so we could bring it to him right now. We can bring it to where he is. He did it so we could live a life in constant encounters with God. You know, we often talk about prayer lives and talking with God. And that's really what God wants us to do with him. Spend time with him. Often the reason we're carrying things is often because we're shameful about it. And God's not actually that interested in things that's going to damage us, except for to take it away. Because he wants to remove everything that comes between him and us. Like a marriage and there's things in the way, it might be all right for a while, but eventually you've got to clear these things out. See, when he came and touched the coffin, he stopped everything. Now, this woman had a choice at that point. Did she kick off? But he'd already said to her, woman, don't cry. So he'd already showed his compassion to her. And I don't think the English comes across too well on this, but she must have seen compassion in his eyes because she didn't do anything. Then he spoke to the young man and then he presented him back to his mother. You see, we need to put a stop to the things that we're carrying that are just burdensome to us. We need to stop carrying them. We need to speak to them. And then we just need to present ourselves to God and stand there. God, you just take this away from us. We need God just to touch us. We need to speak to the mountain, speak to the problem, and let life just flow into our lives. God didn't design you to carry everything that we carry. The best way to do it is to keep light. And guilt and shame will crush you on the inside. And it doesn't matter how strong you are on the outside, but there's certain things that will hollow you out. And when trials and tribulations come, you'll have nothing to give. It's like the 9th round in a box match. Some people give up because of nothing left in the tank, as it were. So let me encourage you. You know, if you're carrying stuff, if you carry, then you need to bring it before God. We may not be able to meet again for another few weeks, but, you know, just carry it before God and say, here, I'm not going to carry this anymore. It may be a person, it may be a situation, it may be just some feelings and emotions. It may be even the fact that there's somebody who's no longer with us and there's a problem there. Well, if that's the case, you can't do what about it. You need to let it go. Put it before God. and just stop carrying things that are crushing you and start living a life of freedom and rest. Sounds too easy, doesn't it? Too easy. And yet so many people never do it. So check out Luke 7. Read the story yourself. See what God says to you in there. Because one of the phrases was that the people of the town said, God has visited his people. In another version, it says, God has come to help his people. See, Jesus came to die on a cross. But before he even got to the cross, he helped so many people. And I don't know whatever happened to this woman and her son. I would like to think they were part of the church. I mean, end of the day, it was a pretty big miracle. I bet she didn't shut up about it for a while. You know, I bet she couldn't keep quiet about it. You know, I bet the town couldn't. In fact, they were all, it says, and then a great fear came upon them all. They had something to talk about. Jesus had turned up. You know, in my own life, I would love to have stories and situations where Jesus turned up in such a mighty way. The problem is that I've been on the road for so long now, but I haven't got any major issues for God to suddenly get me out of. That's called wisdom, by the way. But some other people, I can still be part of somebody else's story. And I could be the one walking into a town while somebody's walking out of a town and stop them and let them have an encounter with God. And so can you, because that's what we're all anointed for from this morning. Amen.